Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nuhu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
It now makes sense why I can never go back. So if there's somebody that wants to join me and confess with City of David this morning that I'll never go back, I'd like you to clap your hands, O ye people. Now let's give him a shout of triumph. Hallelujah. You know, this is first service, so the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. Because you see, this kind of song that City of David did, it can keep us. That's if I talk small, I'll tell them to start. We'll start jumping up or start again. Service will be over. And you would have had service. Hallelujah. But let me respect myself. Once again, can we celebrate City of David? They're always on point. All right, so quickly, while you remain standing, let me do a little bit of housekeeping so that we can rush and read the word, and then you sit, and I'll do the rest of the standing. Pitomia as erotic. Eros is for the guys that are wearing this thing. If you are not wearing this thing on your left hand, don't dabble in Eros. It's dangerous. It's only for the guys that are married. So don't even go there. Funny enough, this Valentine that I'm even talking about is even my wife that taught me the university days, secondary school. In fact, the first time I went to secondary school, I was hearing them, oh, valley, oh, shall I be my... I said, what's this? What are these we're talking about? I was wondering what's going on. Yeah. When I was in university, for what? February, when we were in lectures, that day will just come. I mentioned, go bad boy. Have we finished being bad guys? To have time for Valentine, go and look for a girlfriend when we are looking for trouble, you know? But my wife said, it's Valentine, no. And I noticed she was very serious. So me, I had to learn, no. Hallelujah. Now she at least I'm more than 60%. Before it was failure, 10%. But now I'm trying. I wish she was here, but she will attest to it, yeah. Hallelujah. Good. So, what? It's not really about sex. Yeah. It's not really about that. It's not really about mushy vagueness. No, it's not that. It's not even about sensuality. No. That's not love. No. They could be expressions of it if they are expressed under the right umbrella. But that's not what it is. Something drives it. Something drives it. And that's what we're going to talk about. Hallelujah. So, 1 Corinthians 13, now move to verse 3. It starts with what love is. So, let's go to 4. What love is. After what love is, you move to what love is not, then it now moves to what love is. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Two of them go together. That's why it's the only one in the definition that has an and. You know, an and is a conjunction in English language. It says, it suffereth long. That means, I like the King James because all the other versions water it down. It says, it suffereth long. The other versions call it patience. You know, patience has a way of looking patient. I'm patient. It suffereth long. That means there's something you don't like that you have to go through. And it's not short, it's long. So for the married couples, it's for the long haul, sirs and ma's. It's not for 1 year. It's not for 2 years. It's not for 3 years. In the relationship, it's for the long haul. Every day, it will change in dimensions and designs. you will endure it. And he says, and what is kind? What does it mean to be kind? Kindness is simply goodness, active goodness. He says, it is patient and it is actively good. So that means that the person that this thing is directed to at that point does not deserve it. If the person deserves it, it's not charity at work and it's not kindness. That's marriage. Let's bring it to business. A guy dupes you and comes back the next day and says, you're born again. You should forgive. You should be patient with me. And you should remain kind with me. House, what's up? The guy duped you. This is the advantage of walking in the back. Share the people at the back, you can hear me. The guy duped you. And now he now comes back and he says, you are supposed to be patient. You are supposed to be kind. What do you do? And love is the subject of conversation. How can you love in such a case? You go and bring the person and give the person another business transaction. But many of us do it. Do you know he's telling you to do it? I can bet you it's not the Holy Spirit. It's the devil. I'll come to conviction and condemnation. It is the devil. Yeah. Can you still love the person? Absolutely. Would it give the person a business transaction? Maybe, but it depends on the merits of the transaction. Would you cut corners to give the transaction? Absolutely not. Why? Because you love the person. You don't want the person to strain your relationship further. There's what they call marginalization. Marginalization, forget that they use it in politics to make it look like it's a bad thing. Marginalization is simple. Know my boundaries with my interactions with you. That's what marginalization means. You can marginalize. Yeah. And you still love the person and you're still kind to the person. So, everybody that is kind-hearted, they are patient because the two of them go together. The next one is that love does not envy. It does not envy. Which brings me to the jealousy and envy. Because some of us think, we mix the two of them together. Jealousy simply means a fear of losing what is yours. That's what it means to be jealous. That is why as couples, husband and wife, it is expected that you should be, your relationship should have a tip of jealousy in it. It's allowed. God himself said his name, my name is jealous. That's one of his names. Jealous. So it's a fear of losing what is yours. But envy is a desire of something that belongs to somebody else. So why would God allow us to feel envy? Simple. So that you will know that you have your own. So that if it's your own that you're losing, you will guard it. That's the only reason why God allows you to feel envy. But of course, you know the source is not from him. It's from the fall. It's because of the fall that envy crept in. Yeah. So, but love does not envy. Love will not look for another person's own. No. Rather, love will celebrate another person's own, which is the way you guard against it. I also like to be very practical. Mr. Franklin is my friend. We are friends. Tomorrow, I don't drive. Mr. Franklin drives to church and comes and says, Pastor, something good happened to me. And he brings in the latest Hilux truck, latest, automatic. And he brings it and he packs it in him and says, this is what the Lord has blessed me with. Would I have a think of envy? You say, what? Me? How many heads does he have? Why shouldn't I have it? No, there's a likelihood that I might feel envious. But I like what you said. You said no. The reason why I gave the answer to the question. I said he's my friend. That's the only reason why I will not envy him. Because I love him. If not for that love, I will hate and keep hating the floor he walks on. I say, look at this man. To make matters worse, he's not even a Nigerian, an Indian. He came to Nigeria and he's even showing me in my country. I'm telling you. Yeah. But because I love him, see all those things, they will miff. They will disappear. I will not see it. What will I see? Mr. Franklin, God is wonderful. The Lord's name be praised. I'm so happy for you. I will celebrate his success. So the trick to envy when it comes, celebrate the success. Do the opposite of what you feel. Celebrate. In fact, it gets more interesting when you're celebrating and you don't feel like celebrating. That's when you know that, warfare is not only in the name of Jesus Christ. This is warfare. Because you are protecting your own. Hallelujah. So it doesn't envy. It doesn't. And the trick to prevent yourself from envying is celebrate the other person. Celebrate them. The next one is that it doesn't puff up. It doesn't puff up. Pastor Bidemi used to tell us a story about Indigo, and I've seen them at work. Even we have them in Enugu here. You come into a function and you put your hand in your pocket and you say, I will not spray money here. And they start. They will go and look for your name. Oh, God. When they start and they call that your name, it will start with a leg tap. You know? You catch yourself. You say, I'm a pastor, born again, perhaps on the rock. You just catch yourself. You just prim and proper. They now call your name and add some qualities to it. The type that they did to David. The likelihood that your head is going to swell is 99.9%. So how do you prevent yourself from being puffed? Because all of you, I know it puffs you. If it doesn't puff you, people will not be doing it. By now, they would have stopped it. It would have been bad market. The reason why they are still doing it is because it works. You don't know. If it doesn't work, they would have stopped it. Here is nice. If you see the Yoruba ones, when they will use the talking drum, they will pull it. It will spell your name for you. It will puff you. So what do you do? Because if you puff, you're endangering the lives of the people that are putting you out, people that you are supposed to shepherd or mentor or coach or even as an example. So what do you do? Deflate. If you watch Pastor, we don't do it again so much. When we used to bring up pastor before he preaches, the training is that before he comes, you go and look for something to say. So you give the fertile floor, the foundation before he ministers. So you're supposed to charge up the atmosphere and then pump him. Whenever pastor comes up, the first thing he does is he deflates it. He says, it's your glory. It is an intentional act to prevent a puff up. You see, I'm not telling you this so that you will think that you are going to be puffed, but you have to intentionally war against it. That love does not puff up does not mean that the devil will not come and tempt you so that you'll be puffed up. You know, there's so many things. In fact, the minute God gives an instruction, that's when the enemy is activated. I hope you know. The devil doesn't just come like that. There must be an instruction. He's called the adversary. There must be something for him to advance against. If there's nothing for him to advance against, he will not come. Hallelujah. So, he will puff you, but what do? You deflate it. So, love forces you now. There's an intentional act by you because you know people are watching. You know people need to. People are feeding off your experiences. So, you need to be proper for them. So what do? You deflate. You deflate the praise. You deflate that thing that is supposed to make you puff up. You don't give in to it and say, yes. Pastor K, your message was very, very tight. You don't say, yes, I know. Yes, you know, I preach very, very well. I know, I have the gate story. That's not love. Love will not make, right? I need to have it together so that God will still use me so I can still minister to these people. I won't hurt them. I say, to God be the glory. The guy now goes, you mean God be the glory? I'm telling you that God, you bless, you are too much. You are saying God be the glory. You have ministered, you have saved his life. I'll tell you how that one happens with time. Hallelujah. So, it doesn't puff up. The next one is that it does not behave unseemingly. Kai. See, that's why there's been conversations about, I know tattoo is flying on the internet. Should a Christian, should a believer tattoo? The main one that always causes problem is alcohol. This one, that one. And you see, they are all looking for white and black. You see, the world likes to justify its actions, so that's why it always looks for white and black. But here, in this kingdom, we tread on the place of love. So let me even help you. Alcohol and tattoo are even questionable. Let me use simple ice cream. If my consumption of ice cream, like me, I like ice cream, Cold Stone to be specific. They know me whenever they come, they say, you've come. Vanilla, what have you, smash the waffle, what do you mean, almond, go to go. Eh? But if that thing is going to make AU stumble and he has a question in his faith and I interact with him, guys, I have to do something about it. It's either I don't consume ice cream or I don't consume it in front of him. That's love. That's what, to behave unseemly. So let's not even go into whether what you're doing is even good or bad. I'm even saying that what you're doing is even good to you, but it's causing your brother to stumble. You have to stop it. You have to do something about it. That's love. Doesn't behave unseemly. Choice of words, slangs. This is not law. This is purely love. I can slang in front of Mr. Eduzo because of the age closeness, so he can understand a little bit of me. But if I slang with somebody else, the person will say, a pastor slanging like this, something is wrong. The person gets confused. Wahala don't gas. Then me, I now say, after all, I'm slanging with him. I'm a married man. He's a married man. We are free. I'm free. Eh? I've caused problem. That's not love. That's not love. That's what I'm talking about. So if there are certain behaviors or certain things you find yourself doing, and it has a counter effect on the body of Christ, and you're still doing it, I submit to you, you are no longer walking in love. And you know the danger of walking in love? Fear comes. Once you walk outside of love, fear comes in. The spirit of fear is so deadly. The Bible says when the spirit goes and he comes back and he sees space, he will go and bring back demons 10 times greater, 7 times greater than him. So when the spirit of fear comes and says, now this place is empty, what do you think it's going to do now? It's going to go and bring depression. It's going to bring anxiety. He'll go and bring name all of them. You pack all of them. You find yourself dealing with all sorts, left, right, center. You'll be wondering what's happening to you. Just for one reason. You didn't love. You allowed fear creeping. So do not behave unseemly. Don't. Anything that is going to, any behavior that is going to be injurious to the body of Christ, check it. Check it. Hallelujah. And you know, sometimes we justify it. I want to say that. We justify it by saying, I'm struggling. Sorry. Struggling is okay, but it's supposed to be a one-off. But when you persistently dwell on a habit and you know it's injurious and you say you're struggling, you're just looking for an excuse so that you keep doing what you're doing so that you will not transform. You don't want to change. Like House on the Rock, we are called home for all. It's not the way we walked into this church that we are now. If you guys knew me 2013 when I walked into this church, if you knew me 2012 prior, 2013, most of the people that know me then and know me now, they cannot recognize the two of them. There's a major difference. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Am I struggling? Oh, yes. But there must be a transformation. You don't struggle and stay where you are and say you're struggling. It's becoming a slang in the body of Christ. And that slang is actually an excuse not to change so that you can remain in the congregation and do what you're doing. And without your knowing it, you fester. As you fester, others join you. As others join you, you are building a gang. Before you know it, it becomes a stronghold. Once it becomes a stronghold, we will now start struggling to uproot you. Meanwhile, we're supposed to use the energy of warfare to war more important wars, but we're using it to deal with unseeming behavior. Hallelujah. All right. It does not seek its own. It does not seek its own. It's not selfish. It's never about me or the highway. It must be my way. No, that's not how love works. Doesn't. It can never seek its own. Once it seeks its own, it is self-centered. And once it is self-centered, it is not love. If I come to you and I tell you, you must wear white shoes, and you say, yeah, Pastor K, because of Pastor K said it, okay, I'll wear white shoes. Then you wear blue, you don't have white shoes, but you have a blue shoe, and you wear your blue shoe, and I come and I say, why are you wearing white shoes? You say, Pastor K, actually, I don't, I said you must wear white shoes. But the guy is trying to communicate with me that he doesn't have the means to get a white shoe. Pay attention. You say, no, 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 it must be what I said. That has moved from love to law. That's why a lot of us keep struggling. Because once law has, we forget one thing about law, it activates sin. The minute a law is given, that minute the law went out, that's the minute people started thinking about how to break it. Has it occurred to you? The minute a law comes out, that is the minute people will start thinking about how to break it. It's quite unfortunate. Like I said, the adversary moves once there's an instruction. That's how it goes. It's a fact of life. And so, it doesn't insist that it must be its way. It must be the way I want it. No. It's supposed to be God's way. Especially in marriage, the one that reigns is either a man's world or the woman is liberated. That's how it's like, you know? And all those things are giving foothills to the devil. God is genderless. God is neither male nor female. God is spirit. That's why those that worship him was worshiping in spirit and in truth. But God created. When he was making man, he make means to make out of something. So it was from himself that he made man, spirit. He blew essence into the body. But when he created, because it was out of nothing, he created male and female. That means the first time we're having male and female were on this earth. He blew himself into, both of them carry his spirit. So what that means is that the male is the contraction and structure by which the spirit expresses itself, male. And the female is the same spirit of God, not separate spirit, is the same spirit of God expressing itself in the structure of a female. So it's the same spirit. So we have been wasting our time saying it's a man's word. And the women are saying that the men are trying to suppress them. Those things are
irrelevant fights. If we understand, because it's the same spirit. That is why the expression of the spirit in the male can never be the same with that of the female, and vice versa. Open your eyes, people. The devil has been sucker punching us all this while. With all these, the world is now trying to tell us how to run the kingdom. So without our knowing it, they build the women against the men. They say it's women liberation. So the women are in there resenting men. And it's very easy. He will just use your experiences. The experiences is the one that gives to you. He will use it to build your war against the man. Because most of them have the same story. They either been hurt, they've been struck or something. And vice versa. The man takes his own position and must do it. If you check it, it's either it goes backwards. Maybe his mother handled his father in a different way. So he says in my own time, it will never be the same. And I say, the man's world, you must do it this way. Highway or the, at the end of the day, who will help? Who will help? Nobody. Nobody. So it doesn't seek its own. It doesn't seek its own. I'm racing for time. It doesn't seek its own. Now, it doesn't, is not easily provoked. Patience, we've talked about that. It's part of patience. It doesn't get worked up easily. As a person, I used to be hot-tempered. I don't know whether I still am. Maybe people will tell me. But I think I'm getting better. I used to be very impatient. I think maybe I still am. Look, I'm trying. I'm getting better. But it's for, as far as love is involved, you don't get worked up easily. Not even small thing, you charge like battery, full, just go straight from 0, 100%, boah, you unleash. No, no, no. Calm down. It's not easily provoked. As far as you get worked up, you say you're hot-tempered, you pride yourself in being hot-tempered, love is not working. Sorry. It doesn't. Next thing is that love does not pride itself in anything that is not true or enjoys iniquity. So, does it condone? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Does it condone sin? Absolutely not. So what does it mean that love does not enjoy iniquity but rejoices in truth? Truth and love go together. You say the truth in love. You don't isolate them. Once you isolate them, they're extremes. When love is on the extreme, you condone anything. Once truth is in the extreme, you become tense. When you mix the two of them together, you have a balance because both of them are expressions of the kingdom. So, do you condone iniquity? No, you don't. So how do you, what's this thing about love? Love now, how does it rejoice in truth and challenges iniquity? Very simple. You don't publicize. So, maybe blessed is my friend and I know what he did yesterday night. I don't come to church and say, blessed, you are not a good Christian. I know what you did yesterday night. That's not love. Love is, I know what you did yesterday night. Me and him will have a conversation about it. I'll talk to him about it and I tell him, see, this thing you did is not good. I'll call it out. But I don't condemn him. That brings me to the difference between condemnation and conviction because of time. Most of us, including me, I'm guilty of condemning people. What's condemnation? You attack the person. You don't attack the act. That's condemnation. But the Spirit of God convicts. What does conviction? Conviction is simply like this. Okay, so condemnation is like somebody stole. You tell the person you're a thief because you stole. Ibonyori, Azorogazo. Your father's generation is a thief. You see? That's condemnation. We don't do that. But what's conviction? Blessed. You're blessed now. You're better than this. Daughter of Zion. You're royalty. Your body is the temple of the Lord. You're so beautiful. It's not meant for everybody. It's meant for your husband. You understand what I'm trying to say? You're calling out her acts, but you're not condemning her. You're separating her person from what she did. Because the truth of the matter is that what she did, as far as she's a believer, what she did is not a function of who she is anymore. Because her old man is dead. He's dead. It will never come back. That song, never come back. See, all of you that have given your life to Christ, you see that your old life, it has died. Anytime you go to reactivate it, it's called identity crisis. Paul puts it this way, reckon yourself dead. That person is dead. It's not coming back. So even if you go to awaken all those, it will never come back. As far as heaven is concerned, you have been translated to the kingdom of his dear son. All right? And finally, love never fails. It never fails. Can never fail. Can never fail. It is the greatest weapon. There's a pastor by name Chris Vallotton. If you can read his book, Spirit Wars. And that's where I close. He gave a testimony that in his church, all of a sudden, he had an attack by witches. Witches were filling his church, you know.
Somebody will stand from behind and start interrupting him as he's preaching. And start telling him, you are preaching false. What you are saying? You know, as I'm preaching now, somebody will start talking from behind.
Thank you.
So they kept kabashing, binding.
Oh boy, the number kept increasing. Ha! Is there presence? Serious presence. He now came back and thought, what will I do? He will come back, he will say, I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. Ooh, they will go, tomorrow they will come back. The number kept increasing. So he went to study and he went to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit told him, I have given you authority over the power of the enemy. They have powers. I hope you know the devil has powers, but he doesn't have authority. So take authority from him. Say, how do I take authority from him? The Holy Spirit took him to Luke, popular text. Jesus Christ was talking, Luke 10, 19 and 20. He said, when I sent people out two by two and you people were casting out demons, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. So I went to interrogate and I saw that lightning, there are two sides of lightning. What you see as lightning is not coming from down up. It's actually from down going up. The one you see coming down is initially invincible until there's a collision between the one from down, the charges from down, and they collide with the one up and you see the line. So when Jesus Christ said, I saw Satan fall like lightning, it means something happened down that went up and then he now saw. Christ is very, very philosophical and he uses examples. So Chris now went to church and said, okay, so what do I do? That's why I said love never loses. He decided to try something else, to try loving these witches, because he condemned them as witches, he was binding them and casting them away. So he chose to love them. So when the witches are misbehaving, he will step down from the pulpit and go to them and say, how are you? How is the family? And then he will notice that witch that was making noise. You are talking like. Keeps quiet. Ha. All of them started keeping quiet. Some became born again. Others left the church. That was how witches stopped disturbing him. Love is the way to victory. I have a testimony. When I was in Access Bank, there was this lady that me and I used to have serious battles. Because her husband was my friend in the previous bank I was working before I came to Access Bank. So he knew a little bit about me. So when you got there, I think he divulged some information to the lady. So the lady was using that in our misunderstanding. So whenever I'm her superior, whenever I give her an instruction, she challenges me and she looks at me like, I know you. So initially, it was bothering me. I said, what do I do? One day, we had one heated battle that day. Heated battle. I went back to my office and sat down for a while. And the Holy Spirit told me, go back and I apologized to her. I said, me. She's the one that annoyed me. I'm her boss. I can give her a memo and query her. You know, when he talks, you just keep quiet. So I've told you, go back and apologize. So I was wondering why I should go back and apologize. First of all, she's even my junior. She's even my last sister's friend. See, pride again. Love is not puffed up. Everything was working against it. But guess what? I managed to obey. I struggled and went downstairs to her. And I patted her on the back and I said, I'm sorry. I have never seen a human being's face transform like what I saw that morning. Her face transformed. It was broken. She was crying. She was wailing. People were looking at me. What did I do to her? You know, in the corporate sector, when you see a boss leaving a woman and the woman is crying. Just an act of love. And I went back to my seat and I was quiet. And you know, he always comes back and says, "Sure, I told you." And that's what I want you to do this day. With what I've taught you, with what we've shared, because it's what you know. I'm just bringing it back to your remembrance so that you can activate it. Love is very powerful. Very, very powerful. Not the world's idea of love, but the kingdom's way of love. It's very powerful. There is nothing that drives demons like love. Go and watch Harry Potter, the first one. How did he kill this wizard? He touched his face and his face started cracking. That's why he said he called it act of love. Even the world knows it. Hallelujah. So I'm done. But I want to give an opportunity. If you're here and you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior and you've not activated this love, I'm going to ask you to stand. Yes, I've never done this before, but I'm going to ask you to stand. Yeah. I'm going to ask you to dare the people, your friends that you came with to church. Dare that person that came with you that didn't know that you were going to do what you're going to do now, that this word is for. I want you to dare that person by standing. By standing to make a position, to take a position that I have vowed never to go back, that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, that I believe in him and on him, and I want this everlasting life, this life of love, this life of goodness lavished. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. And I want it. I don't want to go back home the same way I came. I don't want to. I want to try something new. Ignite was called new beginnings, new thing. I want to try something new. I've been trying this thing, but it didn't work. But now, I want to try something new. If you're that person, can you stand? If you don't want to stand, no problem. But you will stand.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Baebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.